IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Dog bite incidents remain a common occurrence in South Africa, with a recent Eastern Cape incident proving to be so savage that it sparked fears of a werewolf amongst residents. The question is often raised about who is liable for the injuries sustained from a dog bite or from other domesticated animals. We are joined this morning by Jean-Paul Rudd. He's an attorney and partner at Adams & Adams, trying to help us navigate this potentially dangerous area. Good morning. How are you doing?
Morning, Howard. Thanks for having me.
A great pleasure. So, you know, we have these pets in our homes. We hope that they are fully domesticated and don't bring any harm or don't cause any harm to anybody. But in fact, that they are still animals and things can go wrong.
You're 100% correct, Howard. Yeah, it happens on, I would say, virtually a daily basis in South Africa. And our law, therefore, distinguishes between fault-based liability and non-fault-based liability. Now, if I can just maybe dive into that quickly. Under the no-fault liability, actually strict liability in South African law, in order to be successful, the animal must have acted contrary to its nature. Now, the rationale behind that is that our domestic animals have been under the influence of man for such a long time, and that the minimum standard of good behavior can therefore be expected from them. Thus, it would be considered contrary to their nature for a dog to bite, an ox to gore, or a horse to kick, or to bolt spontaneously when harnessed to a cart, or with a rider on its back. Now, these are examples that have been dealt with under case law over the years. And then certain kinds of behavior are also considered according to an animal's nature. Now, the following examples are also provided by case law. For example, where a ram, which is attacked, defends itself, where a horse kicks out while in pain, where a ram jumps a fence to cover the neighbor's ears, where a hungry dog satisfies its hunger by devouring a chicken, etc. Now, this is in our law called strict liability. So if animal acted outside its nature, the owner would be responsible. But then there's another fault-based liability under the lex aequilian. And in order to succeed with an action under the lex aequilian, you need to prove fault. Now, that's basically negligence on behalf of the owner or the householder. Now, acts of negligence would be the following. If the owner lets the dog off its leash in a public space, or if the owner fails to repair a gaping hole in its fence, or his or her fence, and the dog gets out and injures someone, or if the dog wanders off a private premises and bites an individual in a public area, for example, like in the neighborhood. Those are examples of negligence on the side of the owner or householder. So one must distinguish between fault-based liability, where you have to prove negligence, and strict liability, where you simply need to prove that the dog or animal, any other animal for that matter, acted outside its nature.
So in other words, the animal has to act outside of its nature in order for you to be liable?
Under the actio de corpore, that's the no fault or the strict liability action, and then you've got the lex aequilian, which is a fault based action where you have to prove negligence. So under the actio de corpore, the animal must have acted outside its nature. Now, to give you a good example, if a dog is out in the street and it bites you, then because the dogs have been domesticated over years, Our case law finds that the dog is acting outside its nature. But that same dog, if that dog was ridden over by a car and was in pain lying next to the road, and you approach that dog who's in pain, and the dog lashes out and bites you in those instances, then the dog is acting according to its nature, and you would not be able to succeed with liability under the actio de corpore. You might then be able to succeed under the lex aequilian, where you can prove fault on behalf of the owner in letting the dog outside the house or anything like that. It's a tricky question in our law, basically, because you need to distinguish between fault-based and non-fault-based liability.
Mm. Yep. So, in other words, so just take a practical example is I take my dogs to a dog park where it's traditional for dogs to be off a leash, and somehow my dog is having a very bad day and bites somebody. We've taken him to the dog park before. There's never been an issue, but now he attacks somebody for some unknown reason. In a case like that, what would apply?
So then the actio depo fori would apply, the strict liability, because your dog would be acting outside its nature. You know, and any other time you took the dog to the park, the dog wouldn't have fought with anyone, wouldn't have bit anyone. So in those circumstances, the dog was acting according to its nature, but on this specific day, the dog acts outside its nature and bites another person, maybe a child or a dog, and in that case, it's acting outside its nature, and then you as the owner would be liable under the actio depo pori.
Right. It certainly is a significant responsibility that people have in terms of their own pets.
Very much so. And Howard, there's also a few practicalities as well that I might just mention. You know, if you have been bitten by a dog, and you want to institute action, evidence is obviously very important in our courts. So in most cases, medical reports or photos of the actual injury should suffice, because you need to document and prove your injuries eventually down the line. Obviously, you would, if you were badly injured, you would in any event seek medical treatment. But it's important to keep in mind, if you weren't that badly injured and you maybe home-medicate, that you do document it in the form of photos or go to a GP, so that at least there's record of it, so that you can present this down the line to a court. And then the other important thing is obviously to jot down the names of any witnesses who may have seen the incident as well, because if you do intend instituting an action, you are then the onus is on you to either prove a negligence or prove the strict liability action under the actio depo pori, but you need witnesses to hopefully corroborate your version of the events. Because you don't want to sit in a situation where it's a you said, she said situation.
Absolutely right. It is 8:55. Thank you for that, Jean-Paul Rudd, attorney and partner at Adams & Adams, talking to us about the legal issues that you might face as a dog owner.